Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. This is a solo episode about watching the fluctuations of our mind and seeing how that drives our behavior, our communication, how we show up in the world. This is really the heart of Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, that we are kind of rooted in the classical teachings, and we're starting to explore the deeper layers of ourself at the Vijnanamaya layer, or Vijnanamaya Kosha, which is about your discernment and your beliefs and your wisdom body, and also your Anandamaya Kosha, that place within you that you can find inner coherence, a quiet ease, a connection with the divine. So really, those are the areas that we're going to be discussing today. And we're going to be inviting observation. We're not analyzing, we're not diagnosing, because we don't do those things in yoga. It's about svadhyaya, or self-reflection. What is the quality of my mind and heart? What patterns am I repeating? Is there some identity that I'm protecting? And we can kind of gently analyze our habitual patterns. We can look at the things that are causing us suffering. We can look at the different states of mind and how they impact us. We can even go back and look at things that we call vasana, which is, gosh, what leftover residual imprint from something in the past is actually impacting me right here, right now. So these are the types of things we just naturally settle down and start pondering consciously or unconsciously in periods of deep rest, sleep, and meditation. So it's not like we're forcing a cognitive insight or a judgment like we might in a talk therapy. It's not about even fixing ourselves. It's more about having these aha moments where we kind of see clearly for a moment. And then from those moments of clarity, things start to emerge. They start to help us see how to suffer less. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. My name is Amy Wheeler, and I am your host. Today, we're going to do a solo episode with me, and we're still going deeply into the eight limbs of yoga this year. So let's go ahead and get started. So let's start off with Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, looking at the five states of mind, the citta bhumi. And again, when we look at our states of mind, we're really looking at the discernment layer, especially the Vijnanamaya Kosha. How do we show up for ourselves? How do we show up in relationships? How do we communicate? What's driving our behavior? So let's look at these five states of mind from the perspective of Vyasa, because Vyasa is the sage that basically helped us to interpret the Yoga Sutra. So in the first stage, I don't know if I should say the Sanskrit or not, but I will. You don't have to know it, but it's sometimes fun to hear. The kshipta, this is when your mind is feeling really restless, very scattered, very distracted, and overwhelmed. And I think many of us can really relate to that, whether there's ADHD involved or whether we just have way too much going on in life to be able to track everything. And we're always feeling a little bit agitated, a little bit impatient. Now, the second one, we go to Muddha, which is a mind that is very dull, has a lot of inertia and lethargy, can't think clearly. I think some of us who've had perimenopause or menopause, we go through a few year period when our hormones are changing and we cannot finish a sentence. Our mind feels very cloudy. Sometimes when we have certain disease pathologies, we just don't have the sharpness in our minds to think through things, to remember things. Those patterns are strong for a lot of us. And sometimes we move back and forth between the agitated, restless, scattered, into the dull, clouded, and inertia. It's not like it stays. Your mind is always going in and out and in and out. And so the next one, the third state of mind that Vyasa talks about is vikshipta, which is intermittently fluctuating in and out, kind of what I just said. So you wake up in the morning, maybe you're feeling very overwhelmed, in and out, in and out. By 3 o'clock in the afternoon, your brain is gone, you're done. And then you're lying in bed at 11 o'clock at night and your brain gets restless again. So that kind of, it's moving in and out. I would say most of us have that happening quite a bit of the time. We go to the fourth state of mind, the ekagrata. This is kind of like the one-pointed focus. This comes from practicing meditation, according to Patanjali. This comes from getting your mind to find an object of meditation, learning how to concentrate on that, whether it's a mantra, a mudra, a deity, something in nature, that you really concentrate on it. Then you begin to kind of take on the qualities and merge with it. And then eventually, we have samadhi, where we become one with everything. Not just that object do we become absorbed in, but we actually can expand that out to everything. And so that's our fifth state, is nirodha, where we are fully integrated. Our mind is at a place of stillness. We feel total absorption and possibly oneness. So the difference between those last two stages is we can have a one-pointed focus on something, an object of meditation, but we may not be feeling that oneness with everything. So when Patanjali is talking about what is yoga, it starts off, now we begin yoga. Yoga is chitta vritti nirodha. And nirodha is talking about that fifth state. How do we get to that fully integrated state? Well, we go through a lot of restlessness, scatteredness, distractedness, dullness, inertia, intermittent fluctuation, maybe starting to find the one-pointed focus, and then eventually into total absorption. But that's something we have to work at. That's why we practice meditation. Many of you know Patanjali's Yoga Sutra is mostly about meditation and just a little bit of asana, ethical lifestyle principles. How do you pull your senses inward? How do you set yourself up to have this absorptive experience through breath work, through meditation, and so on and so forth? So that's kind of where we're going. However, this is why I get so much joy out of this topic. On the way there, as we're kind of sorting through the thoughts that come up into our mind and our heart and our nervous system, it's no easy journey. So usually when we decide to sit down, first of all, we have to just watch all of the craziness go across our minds. What are we having for dinner? And did I open that mail? And oh my gosh, we've got the taxes. And what's going on with my child or my parent? And did I remember? And oh my gosh, I think I forgot. And now the cat is crawling all over me. So there's all that kind of superficial sorting. And for many of us, that's what meditation is. It's an opportunity to just kind of be with ourselves and sort through the daily tasks. However, if we become a little bit deeper in our meditation practice, now deeper issues start to come to the surface. We kind of get through all that more superficial stuff, and we start to go into what we call past the mind, and we start to go into the vijnanamaya kosha, and we start to question our beliefs. We start to think about, why did I make that decision? How did I end up here again? What habitual patterns am I doing that are causing me to end up in this place again that I said I didn't want to be? What is my identity? What am I identifying with? And is that causing me pain? Am I trying to protect something? Other things that might come up in deeper meditation, what are the stories I have about myself? Are they even true? What are the stories I have about other people, and are those true? What's my reaction to things versus my response? Did I respond in the way that I wanted to, or was I in reactivity? Is there anything that I'm kind of missing that my soul needs in this life? And now we move more into an even deeper layer that may start to come up for you at the Anandamaya Kosha reflections. Do I feel aligned in my life? Is my life meaningful? Do I have a life purpose? Is my life manageable? That's a hard one. Is my life manageable? Where's the internal friction within me and as I am in relation to others? Is my life coherent? Can I actually handle the life that I've built for myself? Am I having to give too much effort? Can I come back to a place of ease in my life? Is there anything I can clean out or get rid of so that I can soften and have a little more ease? Am I striving for something that doesn't belong to me? Or can I kind of back off and know that what belongs to me will show up for me? What are the choices I can make to increase my coherence and get a more manageable life, which may involve trusting the universe, trusting the divine, knowing that if you make space, maybe things that have been stuck can get unstuck and other things can come into alignment. Oftentimes we're striving and we're pushing and we're forcing. We don't even realize that if we just backed off and created some space and had a little trust, things would come into alignment. So the Anandamaya Kosha could also be about, like, do I trust the universe? Do I trust the divine? Do I trust God? Do I not? Where does that come from? So I think you can see, all of this type of stuff comes up when we go to meditate. We don't just get to pop right from the beginning of agitated mind, tired, lethargic mind, fluctuating mind into bliss. I mean, some of us have a very preliminary experience that somehow we kind of pop in there with beginner's mind when we first start to meditate, but that's not normal. That's not something that's repeatable. And so the more common process is that we sort through our daily stuff, then we start to get to this deeper stuff. And it just kind of percolates up as we sit for meditation each day, or walk for meditation, or rest in bed doing a yoga nidra for the meditation. Now, I want to talk about a few other concepts that sometimes come up when we start to try to settle our mind. The things that have been inside of us that we have not had time to deal with or needed to be repressed to keep us safe or help us survive. There's many, many reasons why we would not have face these things up front in real time. Could be many, many reasons, and there's no judgment, but they do need to come up at some point and be observed. And I think this is where it can get painful. We might find addictions to help distract us from feeling these things and thinking about these things. And oftentimes, when we go to resolve the addiction, we have to go back and do this work. This underlying stuff that was trying to show itself and causing us a little pain. And then we ended up having an addiction, so we didn't have to think or feel about these things. So one of those might be a vasana, V-A-S-A-N-A, vasana exploration. What are the patterns in your life that you feel drawn to repeatedly? Even when you say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be a workaholic, or I don't want to drink wine every night, or I don't want to have so much caffeine. What are the patterns that you're repeatedly drawn to? And that could go as far as even relationships, work environments, pretty much everything, mental, emotional patterns. We could also look at when a painful emotion is coming up. When have we felt that before? How come that feels so familiar? That's something that can be a little bit vulnerable or tender to look at and maybe think through. When have I felt like this in the past? And then also looking at what environments, people, places, and situations am I putting myself that kind of reinforce these tendencies to repeat these habits and patterns and emotional states. And then also another one is like, what is it that you seek out when you're feeling uncomfortable? When you don't want to feel, what is it that you seek out to try to cover up that feeling? Other things that we sometimes reflect on during meditation, and these can also be reflected on with licensed healthcare practitioner, like a psychologist, but in yoga, it's kind of built into the 2,000-year-old teachings of kind of like Buddhism. We have these teachings. We've been doing this for thousands of years, and it's a self-empowered practice where we are looking at this for ourselves, through ourselves, with ourselves. So, you know, some people are like, wait, 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 you can't do this without a qualified healthcare practitioner. I don't know. I feel like yogis have been doing this since the beginning of time, and we can engage in this type of self-reflection. And if we need support and we feel like we're needing it titrated a bit, maybe we don't design our own practice. Maybe we get help from a yoga therapist or even a psychotherapist. So just to say that these teachings have been around a long time that I'm talking about today, and people have done self-guided meditative reflections, either intentionally, where they've kind of set up a certain meditation to reflect with, or this stuff just comes up. They just go sit down on the cushion and try to get a quiet Zen mind, and all of a sudden, all this stuff starts popping up, which is kind of unintentional, but we still can sit and reflect and feel and be with it. So some of the other things that sometimes come up are, you know, what are the early experiences that shaped who I am today, or what reactions I'm having today, or why I feel the way I feel? Why do I feel unworthy? And what were the early childhood experiences that shaped that feeling of unworthiness or untrustworthiness, or you put in the word you want? And where were those beliefs formed? Is that a belief that our family had, that our ancestors had? Is that a belief formed around trauma? Many, many times our personalities are actually shaped around traumatic events and experiences, and even the trauma of our lineage. So is there anything we could breathe through and feel through there? And then who am I? Why am I here? What is my identity? What am I here to do as a human being? So those things, often when you go under the superficial layer of, you know, the grocery list and the dogs and the cats, now we start to kind of reflect on these things. And they come up in meditation, but you could also journal about them. So we could also move into something called the klesha inquiry. The klesha means causes of suffering. You know, what is the root of this misperception or misunderstanding that's causing me so much pain? And that could be misperception about myself for myself, or it could be a misperception or misunderstanding with another human that you're kind of like, I don't understand this. How can this be happening? What information am I missing? Where am I being judgmental? Where am I not setting a boundary? Another one might be asmita, things around your identity, your attachment to your identity as a mother, a daughter, a worker, a colleague, a boss, a student, a teacher, a dog owner. Like, what identity? Identity with a certain amount of income, or showing up looking a certain way, or having a home that you feel comfortable sharing with people. You know, all these things that make up our identity, and really trying to see how that might be causing us suffering because of an attachment. And then a third klesha is raga. What am I clinging to? What am I holding on to that no longer belongs to me, that maybe never did belong to me? What am I trying to get that really I just need to soften a bit and not have so many desires and so much haste and so much going for it? We're very much rewarded for that in Western society. What would happen if I wasn't always going and striving and trying to get more, more, more. And then the fourth one, dvesha. What am I avoiding that is causing me suffering? Is there something I really need to face that I need to step into, that I need to take a good hard look and walk towards it, but I'm just avoiding it because I don't think I can handle it. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the focus. I'm scared. I have fear. There's many, many things that just need to be addressed. And it's almost like the fear leading into it is worse than the actual event. Not always, but there's many, many things we avoid and many things we avoid and we're not even conscious that we're avoiding them, which all leads into abhinivesha, which is the fear of loss, the fear of change, maybe even the fear of death, and really grieving and worrying that what if I don't have this? What if I have that? What if, you know, this happens or that happens? And, you know, kind of worrying about the present or the future. So these are all invitations. They're not labels. They're invitations to ask our meditation to support us in this vadhyaya, in this self-reflection. And again, that could be intentional. I want to meditate on this today. Or it could be that you just sit down and these things start bubbling up. And for whatever amount of time you're there, you just kind of reflect on that or maybe journal about it. So the reason I want to tell you all this is because this is why we don't meditate. This is why we stop. We do it for 3 or 4 days and then we stop. We get too busy. We are too agitated. We fall asleep. Or when we decide to do these things, it's just too much. We don't have the space in our lives to actually be with this kind of depth of self-reflection. And this is why that in the childhood and householder phases of life, oftentimes we aren't allowed to do this work because we just don't have the time, the energy, the money, the focus, the space. And it's oftentimes reserved for the elder phase of life when we're into semi-retirement, retirement, or even close to passing into another form, because that's the only time that we really can get quiet with ourselves, create the space. So I guess I don't know what else to say except that this work, I think, can be done in small titrated bits. I don't think we have to wait until retirement to do this. I think even 3 to 5 minutes a day, every day, could prove to be very, very amazing. And so I've been thinking about how could we do that? What kind of tool could help us just take a tiny little titrated bit? So I am making some tools that I find very, very fascinating, very interesting, and I want to share one with you today. And so let's get into this, and I'll share just one of these little tools with you that might help you do some of this self-reflection and or meditation in just a tiny titrated bit day by day instead of waiting till later in life. Let's take just a little pause and talk about something that's really exciting. There's a new book coming out in spring 2026 called Applications of Therapeutic Yoga in Integrative Health. It's authored by Amy Wheeler, myself, and Marlisa Sullivan. We've been working really hard on this book for about 18 months, and now it's scheduled for release in spring 2026. This text will bring together philosophical foundations of yoga, emerging research in neuroscience, and evidence-informed methods for applying these teachings in clinical and community settings. The book is designed for healthcare providers, yoga teachers, yoga therapists, educators, and really anyone seeking to clearly understand the why of why yoga works and the how, the mechanism underneath why yoga works. Your purchase of this book will help to advance the field of yoga therapy, and it will support the continued development of resources like this podcast, the Yoga Therapy Hour. and we hope it will serve both you and your clients alike. So please keep an eye out for Applications of Therapeutic Yoga and Integrative Health by Amy Wheeler and Marlisa Sullivan coming out through Routledge Press in 2026. All right, let's get back to the episode. So for those of you who are watching this on YouTube, you'll be able to see this on screen. For everyone else, I'll basically try to tell you what it looks like. So I've been creating some custom artificial intelligence chats. Basically, it's a chat that you do with AI that is fully based in yoga philosophy and Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. And it's like a coach that kind of helps you break down how to reflect on some of these interesting things. So the one that I'm going to show you today, I've created about 12 of them, but the one I'm going to show you today is called the Yogic Philosophy Self-Reflection Coach. And I'm still working on it. These will be for free on our app. There'll be no extra cost, but I just kind of want to show you how it works. So the Yogic Philosophy Self-Reflection Coach is a contemplative inquiry guide rooted in classical yoga philosophy. This is not therapy, nor does it diagnose or treat mental health conditions. It supports philosophical self-inquiry grounded in the teachings of yoga. So right now, the ways to get in and start kind of doing the work with your chat is help me explore a recurring samskara in my life. Or you could choose, I want to understand a deeper belief. Or you could say, can we examine this through the lens of the kleshas? And you could write whatever you want. Or how do I interrupt avasana without suppressing it? So let's just go to one of them. Help me explore a recurring samskara in my life. So you click on that. And it starts off and it says, let us move slowly. Before we name it a samskara, let's just begin with some observation. And then it says, what's the recurring experience? Describe the situation, the emotional tone, the behavior that follows, and the outcome. Keep it concrete. One example is enough. Then you could go through and chat with it and tell it about that. And it says, stage two, we're going to go into recognizing the patterns. So, what is repeating beneath the surface? And let's just stay right here, right now, with lived experience. Take a breath. What is the pattern you notice returning again and again in your life? And you can chat back and forth about that. And so, as you put in answers, it will draw from Patanjali's Yoga Sutra and other classical yoga philosophy. Based on a database that I have put in there through all my 25 years of yoga therapy and yoga philosophy teaching. So that database is kind of like the optimal state database that it draws from when it's answering these questions and you're going back and forth. And by the way, I don't see any of your chats. I don't see any of this information on my end. I can't even see who went in there. It's literally not visible to me. All I can see is what I set up in the template. Now, with that said, if I were you, I would be careful. We don't know how everyone's going to be using this AI stuff. So, whenever I do things like this, I write, I have a friend who, or I have a client who, or I know someone. And when it tries to say, Amy, is this you? I say, no. It's not me. This is my friend. I told you it's my friend. So I just want to say that. Don't put your name. Don't put in too many personal identifying things about yourself. Keep it so that it cannot recognize you. Again, I can't recognize you. I don't even know you've been in there. There's nothing on the back end for me to see what anybody is doing. But I don't actually 100% trust the AI companies if you put your full name and your address and your date of birth and all that. I personally would not encourage you to do that. So this is just one of the self-reflection yoga philosophy kind of tools that I've been dreaming up to see if it can help us learn how to do this self-reflection in little bits. And then what you could do is you could go back and forth for 5 minutes, and then you could say, why don't you choose a meditation that you think would be good for me today? And then it could tell you, here's a 5-minute meditation I think would be great for you today. And you could go do that meditation. So it's kind of like a yoga philosophy coach that helps you target your meditation again, so that you can do just little titrated amounts. Now, some of you are screaming, running out of the room right now. I know. It's not something you want to mix. You don't want to mix your yoga philosophy, your meditation with artificial intelligence. And I honor that. If that's where you're at, no, don't do it. And some of you might even be thinking, well, gosh, if we have this, why do we even need a yoga teacher? Why do we even need a yoga therapist? I don't actually think that's true. I think people want human connection. They want to be with one another. And they also like 24/7 chat. They like the convenience. They like that it's low cost or free. So just to say, my firm belief is there is room for both. That if we see someone every week or every 2 weeks or once a month, there is room for this type of technology to be used in between times. It doesn't mean people won't come see us. And that's what we're seeing in the field of psychology, is that many more people who maybe are marginalized, have had low income, maybe they're in a rural setting where they can't get to a psychologist, maybe they don't have health care or mental health care, that the number of people asking for mental health support, and in this case, it would be Yoga Sutra philosophical support, is skyrocketing, that people are really, really wanting support. And it doesn't mean that they're going to use only the apps and not be with us. I think there's still plenty of room for us. And we as a community are going to have to get comfortable with the fact that this exists and not throw in the towel and say, well, there's no room for me, I might as well quit. I do not believe that at all. I think this is actually going to expand the goodness, the benevolence, the teachings. It's going to get more people interested and actually create more opportunities. But we can't imagine what those opportunities are yet. We're looking at, in 3 to 5 years, the world is going to be very, very different than it is now. There's no holding that back. Do we want to be part of participating in that and putting benevolence and goodness and hope and really getting people to think about these positive ideas and learning yoga philosophy? I do. Now, it's okay if you don't. If you don't, then don't do it. Stay exactly where you are. Stay with your own heart. Be with your own self. There's no problem with that either. Nobody's right or wrong. And for some of us, it's kind of expansive and creates a lot of interest and vitality and creativity to go in and use some of these tools. So we are taking the ancient teachings from thousands of years ago, possibly noticing how these new artificial intelligence tools can help us to learn and grow. And I invite you to maybe meditate on that if you're comfortable with that, if you're not comfortable with that. And when I get these resources out, again, they're not something that can be charged for per se, but they probably will be on our Optimal State mobile app. So I look forward to sharing that with you when we get that up and running. And if you're interested, you want to be a beta tester and just kind of see what this technology looks like, you could always contact me through my website, www.theoptimalstate.com. And I can actually send you a link to try out what I just showed you. Right now it's on private, but the Yoga Philosophy Self-Reflection Coach, I could basically give you a private link to that if you wanted to try it out and see what you thought. And then give some feedback. I think it'd be fun for us to do these kind of projects together. So, all right, everyone, have a wonderful day. It's been really fun to talk to you about the 5 states of mind, the Anandamaya Kosha, the Vijnanamaya Kosha, meditation, the causes of suffering or the kleshas, And the whole idea that a big part of what we're doing in yoga is self-reflection, svadhyaya, and really getting to know ourselves better. All right. Have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you for being a listener of the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. We have done over 200 episodes, and we have had over 200,000 downloads. And we hope that in some small way, we have supported you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. If you'd like to support the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast in 2026, there's several meaningful ways you can do so. First, you can become a member of our Patreon community and donate as little as $5 a month to keep the podcast going. Your contribution helps us to sustain the depth and quality of conversations on the podcast. A second option is that you become an Optimal State mobile app member for both Android and iPhone. Again, this is about $5 a month, and we're going to start providing a lot of amazing content on our mobile app in 2026. We'll definitely want you to be part of that community. We also have a book coming out called Applications of Therapeutic Yoga in Integrative Health. This book will be published by Routledge Publisher in spring 2026. It's written by Amy Wheeler and Marlisa Sullivan. We hope you'll consider purchasing this book when it comes out in the spring of 2026. Again, the name is Applications of Therapeutic Yoga in Integrative Health by Wheeler and Sullivan. For those of you who are seeking advanced training in therapeutic yoga or in yoga therapy, please consider checking out the programs at Notre Dame of Maryland School of Integrative Health. We have a MS in yoga therapy, and we also have a post-master's degree therapeutic yoga for licensed healthcare providers that's starting in the fall of 2026. In addition, we have a comprehensive Ayurveda certificate program also geared towards licensed healthcare providers. Each one of these programs is a pathway designed to support healthcare professionals and yoga teachers and yoga therapists who are ready to integrate these teachings into clinical, education, and community settings. All right, thanks for listening and thanks for supporting the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast.
We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good, be good, and have a great week.